Good morning, church. My name is Grant Wright, the outreach minister here at First Colony, and excited and honored to be speaking to you today as we enter into this month of missions. Obviously, I'm excited. I'm the missions guy here, and so this is a privilege to get to talk. I mean, as we look around the sanctuary, we see all these flags that represent the nations, and we know what Jesus called us to go to all nations. And so as we look around, this is just a reminder of what the Lord is calling us to do as a church, and we have five specific mission points that we give 100% of our mission efforts to. Those flags are kind of center stage up here. We've got Haiti, Honduras, Uganda, Colombia, and Nepal. And so today I want us to talk about what does it look like to have courage as we go on God's mission. So we have so many great examples of men and women here in our church, as well as people that we support that have great courage as they go. So what I want to get to do this morning is tell their story. Tell some of our story as stories that we get to learn from as great examples. The premise of our conversation this morning is going to be around this phrase: a single act of courage is often the catalyst for extraordinary. A single act of courage is often the catalyst for extraordinary. And so we're going to look at three different acts of courage as we join God in His mission. So before we do that, we have to know what God's mission is. And I'm sure we could probably spend a whole sermon series on this, but this morning we're going to do it in a nice little tight Cliff Notes version for us. So the classic text here is the Great Commission, Matthew 28. It says, go and make disciples of all nations, right? And we just talked about that as we look at these flags, as that is a reminder of what Jesus asked for us. We also see Jesus telling Zacchaeus in Luke 19, he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is saying this about himself. The reason I have come is to seek and to save the lost. That is his mission. And then he goes on to say in John 17, as he's talking to his disciples right before he goes on the road to the cross, and he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. The very heart of our Father is to go. The mission he gave Jesus was a sent mission. And that is Christ telling us there that now, as his disciples, he is sending us with his mission. And what is his mission? To seek and to save the lost. So why? Why might you ask? Well, if you flip to the very end of our book in the Bible, you've got the book of Revelation. Revelation 7:9. God gives us a beautiful picture of the completion of what we are working towards. Every nation, tribe, tongue, and language standing before the throne and the Lamb, worshiping our God. So how are we going to get there? I think it starts with our courage. A single act of courage is often the catalyst to extraordinary. So today I want us to look at our first act of courage, and that is, do you have the courage to stay in mission? To stay in mission when it would be easier to go? Many times the grass is greener on the other side. If you've stayed anywhere for any length of time, you know the people, you know the problems, and it starts looking better just to get out. Well, we've got to ask ourselves, if I start running now, am I ever going to stop running? Is leaving actually going to fix the problem? And maybe the best question of all, what is the Lord asking me to do in this situation? Just because it's difficult, is he asking me to stay or is he asking me to go? Well, this morning I want to tell you a story of one man who chose to stay when it would have been easier to go. And that man's name is Philip Cotswell. Now, Philip was born and raised in Bharatnagar. He became a Christian 40 years ago in a Hindu nation where Christianity was illegal. He felt the Lord's call to become a pastor, but there in the was no opportunity for him to grow or to go to school, so he leaves his town, he goes down to India, goes to Bible school, gets a seminary degree, graduates, and goes back to his hometown in Bharatnagar, Nepal, to plant a church where Christianity is illegal. 40 years he is faithful to this call that the Lord has called him to, and on a regular basis, he and his wife go out to share their faith, to share the gospel when they know it is not going to be received well by their Hindu and Muslim community. They know persecution is coming when they go share the gospel message. Through the decades of consistent faithfulness, they start a church in their home. And they are faithful to the members, the new believers that God brings to them in their home church. Well, Christianity was legalized in Nepal in 2008. About 7 years after that, our church leadership is praying and we're asking God, where do you want us to go next on mission? Well, long story short, we end up in the hometown of Philip Kotswell in Bharatnagar, Nepal. We met a group called the NNEA, and they introduced us to Philip and his wife, Kashwelia, and we have had a partnership for the past 3 years that has been a huge blessing to us both. One of the things that the NNEA has is a Bible training school or a seminary down in India, and they have had over 200 Nepali alumni that have gone through that school and are now back in Nepal working to start their ministries, working to do ministry in this country where Christianity is so new. Our church has been able to come around that alumni and start investing in them, as well as starting to build a team around Philip with this alumni base. This past year, we were able to add 2 families to Pastor Philip's team there in Bharatnagar. And they have started multiple groups there now in that city with that support. This next year, Lord willing, we're looking to add 3 more of these alumni families to Pastor Philip and his team so that we can have more groups and more churches that are planted in this area. One of the really exciting things that we've been able to do through our partnership is start a Bible training school there in that city. Because these men had the opportunity to go and get this seminary degree, they've been able to bring back solid, deep theological teachings to this place that has young pastors and young Christians that don't have that opportunity anywhere else. This is a tremendous asset to Nepal and to this place. And not only that, one of my favorite things about this small church that has been meeting in Pastor Philip's house for so many decades, they've had a dream of having their own church building. You know, when I went to visit them, they were packed into one room in Philip's house. They had about 70 people that are sitting on the floor in his room that are crammed in there. Well, Pastor Philip, he was gifted through inheritance a piece of land. He donated it to his church. And that church had been saving their rupees, saving their pennies for years. And our church was able to come alongside them and help gift them a new church building. And church, I'm so excited to show you the most beautiful purple and pink Nepal building in Nepal. It's such a Nepali church. Isn't that beautiful, church? Isn't that awesome? So this is the center of where everything is happening in Nepal. They've got their services there, the Bible training school is based out of there, the church planting initiatives, and everything is based out of this church. 40 years. I mean, Philip went through a literal 40-year in the desert experience, and he stayed faithful to the call that God gave him. And now he is seeing great growth among his people. He's encouraged by more Nepalis coming to come serve. And he's seeing more churches planted to the people that God gave him a heart and a vision for 40 years before. Philip had the courage to stay when it would have been easier to go. A single act of courage is often the catalyst to extraordinary. All right, let's look at our second act of courage that we're going to discuss today, and that is, do we have the courage to go? To go on God's mission when it would be easier to stay. So going is at the very heart of the First Colony Church of Christ. It is in our DNA. It's who we've been since our birth when the Westbury Church of Christ, the Eldridge Road Church of Christ, commissioned their leaders to go and plant a church way out in this new developing community called First Colony. And you have this group of families that come together. The year was 1985, and you have families like the Onsteads, the Carlisles, the Osbournes, the Brighams, the Martins, the Polvidos, the Edisons, the Gowans, the Fries, the Harrises, the Davises, the Scotts, so many families that are even still here today, some up to the third and fourth generations that are serving today, were the foundation of this church 35 years ago. And you know, we didn't always come to worship in this big, beautiful facility. We started gathering in Settlers Way Elementary School in the cafeteria. The classes for the kids were set up in the halls. The church members would come early in the morning. They would set everything up. They would break everything down. They would host events for the community and love and invite them in. And you see the fruit of the heart that was behind that church. Do you know what it takes to plant a new church? It takes digging deep into your wallets and digging deep into your time. And that's what those churches did in 1985. That's what those families did. They gave big. And as we look and we see these flags that represent the places where God has called us to, that's what it takes for us to go do the same thing of church planting in those locations, as we give big. Well, and as we think about the courage to go, I love the passion in the lives that sit out here that do absolutely that. You know, we've been sending 9 to 10 short-term mission trips every year. We've been sending up to 70 and 80 people every year on short-term mission trips. And let me just say, church, that is not a normal, natural thing. If you are committing time to go on a trip, that means you have a very specific thing in mind where you are loving eternal things more than the things of this world. And I say that because it takes great sacrifice to go on a trip. You have to sacrifice time with your family. You have to sacrifice the comforts of Sugarland or this church or your home. You have to sacrifice opportunities. It might be your job. It might be money. It might be a spot on your sports team. But to go on a trip and to give your time is a sacrifice. But I think back to what Jesus says in John 17, is the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And that is at the very heart of who we are. That's in our DNA as Christians, is sent ones, is He gives us that call to go. I want to tell you a story of one man that was willing to go when it would have been easier to stay. And that man's name is Relit Religieux. Who knows Relit from Thomas O'Hadius? Show of hands. I know there's several in here. Relit is a phenomenal young man who loves the Lord and is a great leader for Christ in Haiti. He's a man that we support as our church, backing him in his mission. He oversees the church there of 300 that we support. He oversees the Christian school of 425 students that we have. He also helps oversee the orphanage there on the campus in Tomazo. So God put it on Relit's heart to go on mission beyond the mountains that were there at the Tomazo campus. And let me be clear, Relit's already gone to the people in the mountains. Those folks are already coming down to the Tomazo church every Sunday for worship. But no one knew what was beyond those mountains until now. And I want to let Relit himself tell you this story. Let's turn our attention to the big screen.
We're able to go beyond that mountain. And I'm telling you, there's life beyond that mountain. And we're able to have our youth group with us and the church leadership and two of our leaders that from there. And they were able to lead us to go there. So it was like 4-hour work, just one way to get there. And it was not easy, but we the joy that we feel, you know, the joy that we feel just to work there, to get beyond that. We couldn't feel the pain, you know. And when we get there, and it was just amazing. We were able to go to many houses to invite people to our event. The first day we get there, we just go around, visit people, and invite the children for a movie in the afternoon. We brought our little projector, and we brought our screen and speakers. We just had a little projection, and we were able to share juice and bread with them that night. And they were all amazed, because some of them, it's just the first time they ever seen a movie, because it's a very remote location up in the mountain. And we had a Jesus movie with them, we talked with them. And then the other day, we invite the adults and even the children to come and to our to another place, because they didn't have any, you know, church or place they can worship. So we built something, you know, we got woods back there. We use woods and the tarps. I bought the tarps. We built something so we can meet on the other day. And once we get there, people just walking, you know, from all of the neighborhood just to come to hear the gospel. And that was just amazing, because they just come to see what's going on, because something is happening in this area. And something is happening. You can see the people, what we're all curious about, what's going on. And once they get there, we were able to, even if it was a short amount of time, we were able to cover like the Bible. It was like the same lessons from the camp, but we also bring something else, like, you know, talk about the church, you know, how God had people from church, to the church, like Act 2 verse 47, we talk about that. And, you know, because some of them, that's the first time they ever hear about the church, and we talk to them, and it was a good time. We get a strong connection now with the community.
That exciting? Yeah, absolutely. Give Relit a round of applause there. Can you just see the excitement on his face, and you hear it in his voice? And what's so beautiful about that is this is not in Relit's job description to go to these people. You know, Relit already oversees the school, the church, the orphanage. He's got plenty on his plate, but the Lord gave him this call. And he is now leading other men and women. You heard he's taking the youth group up there, leading them on mission for God. Even though mission can be painful to go, you heard Relit talk about how hard it was to go 4 hours up into those mountains. You can see the spiritual joy that it brings to our lives. Do we have the courage to go when it would be easier to stay? A single act of courage is often the catalyst to extraordinary. All right, let's talk about our third and final point this morning, and that is, do we have the courage to give big to mission throughout life's uncertainties? The courage to give big to mission. So this church is known for its generosity, and in 2017, you know, this was no different, as this was the year that Hurricane Harvey came through, swept across the Gulf Coast and destroyed so many people's homes and financially strapped so many people's lives. You know, this church stepped up big. We had a Harvey Relief Fund, collected over $300,000 here giving locally. You know, as we gave so much locally, we got to November in our missions month, we were expecting mission giving to be down. Well, you know what happened in 2017, a Harvey year for missions? In the face of some uncertain times, this church gave the biggest mission offering that we had received in over two decades. It was unbelievable what we received in a Harvey year of devastation. And then we get to 2018, and you exceed that number. And we get to 2019, and you exceed that number. Every year, you keep giving more and more to our international mission work. And what we're able to do is that means we're now able to support more indigenous leaders. We're able to take care of more people that are in need of relief efforts that have come into play so heavy this year. That means more people are able to hear the gospel and more churches are planted because of your willingness to give big to mission in the face of uncertainty. In the past 3 years of us doing that, this church has been able to plant three new churches in our mission work. 3 years, three new churches. We've been able to come alongside 50 churches to help strengthen and train and grow those churches. And as we see these church plants grow, as we see these 50 other churches grow, our mission works have started 86 new small groups. 86 groups. These are small groups in the barrios of Cucuta, Colombia. These are fellowships in Bharatnagar that Pastor Philip and his team are working on transitioning into churches. These are Casa de Pieces, houses of pieces that Santos Espinosa talked to us about last year on Mission Sunday. This is so exciting what they're able to do as they're growing the kingdom. And do you know who's filling up these new churches in these new small groups? This may be my favorite number of the morning. 2,033 new baptized believers. We've seen 2,033 new baptized believers as this church has decided to show up and to give big to mission, has decided to go on the mission that the Lord has called us to seek and to save the lost, and we are seeing the lost come to be saved. Isn't that beautiful, church? I want to tell you one story. Close with just one story today of a life that has been changed. This is one of those 2,033. And her name is Manusha. Now, Manusha was a girl that we helped rescue out of a sex trafficking situation through our partnership with Our Daughters International. Manusha was rescued on the border of Bharatnagar, Nepal, as she was traveling down to India. This is the border station that we help fund. She was taken to the safe house that we help support, and in that safe house, she was introduced to Jesus for the very first time. She heard the gospel of Jesus, and she started to just be overwhelmed by the love that she got from that message as well as what she received from the house moms. And in that safe place of the safe house, she gave her life to Christ. She was offered the opportunity to go to a training school and to learn a vocation, and she decided to study cosmetology. She'd always had the dream of starting her own hair salon. Well, church, we came alongside Manusha, and we helped fund that business for her to start that salon so that she would never have to be in a sex trafficking situation again. She was going to go start that business back in her hometown, and due to the lockdown, she was not able to, so she starts her business right there in the same town as the training school. She became so proficient in her trade that Our Daughters International asked her to be the trainer over 17 other girls that are now studying cosmetology. But church, not only is she training them in this vocational skill, she is training these girls in her faith in Jesus Christ. She is mentoring these 17 young ladies as all of them come from a Hindu background. Church, I mean, do you see what happens when the heart of our church to give big gets behind missions and we're able to fund this border station that's rescuing these girls? We're able to support this safe house that is teaching them about Christ, and we are able to start new businesses. This one life that has been changed by the First Colony Church of Christ is now changing 17 more lives. I mean, that is a beautiful story of restoration. A single act of courage is often the catalyst for extraordinary. So, church, as we go this week and as we go this year, may we act in great courage to go on God's mission. Your next act to go, your next act to stay, your next act to give big may just create the next catalytic movement for God's kingdom. A single act of courage is often the catalyst for extraordinary. Let's close in prayer, church. Father, I pray that our church to be strengthened today, to be filled with the courage that comes from you and your Spirit. Lord, give us the courage to stay like Philip when it would be easier to go. Give us the courage to go like Relit when it would be easier to stay. Give us the courage to give big this year to mission in the face of uncertain times. We are yours, Lord. We join you in your mission to seek and to save the lost so that one day, Father, we may stand in heaven with all the nations represented, singing in unity. Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon his throne and unto the Lamb. Amen and amen, church.